Let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5, 51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd, 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook, breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go.
Welcome inside the playbook. It's Thursday, game week. Patriots, Arizona, Cardinals, the home opener. I was about to say season opener. The home opener for the Patriots Gillette Stadium here on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock Eastern Time kickoff. Thank goodness, because it seems like it's the only one we've got all year. Welcome inside the playbook. John Rook here. PFW's Eric Scalavino here in our opening hour of our Thursday playbook. Coming up, we'll be joined by David Urban, who covers the Arizona Cardinals for Cardinals.com. He's going to join us in 30 minutes, and then in hour number two of the program, you know him, you love him, you want to be him, Russell S. Baxter, pro football guru extraordinaire, profootballguru.com, coldhardfootballfacts.com, bleacherreport.com, formerly ESPN, formerly, you know, the walking computer
not
concerning
formally,
the NFL.
Not formally,
well,
currently.
No, currently.
And
still a walking computer. Formerly used to work at ESPN, broke out on his own, kind of like we all do. Once you get out of Mickey Mouse's clutches, you kind of go out on your own. That's what happens. Mickey forces. Mickey's a mean SOB. Did you know that?
I kind of got that sense.
He's a mean SOB. I want to let a cat loose in the house when Mickey's around. What does that tell you? I've got just the cat too.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. He's a good mouser.
Cat in Chicago?
No. Oh, good one. Badunch. No, not that cat.
Actually, we heard from her since she got.
She called me yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Called in the second hour yesterday. We had a nice conversation. Cat's the best. She's the best. No, I was talking about my girlfriend's cat. He's a huge cat. Huge cat. Very good mouser.
Really?
Yeah. Very good mouser. So.
Is this the same one from the end of last year?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Believe it or not, she stuck around. Isn't that shocking?
Man.
Shocking, isn't it? I haven't driven her away yet with my lifestyle and my schedule and everything else that I got going on here. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so here we go. Pats and the Cards this week. I got a couple of questions for you right off the bat. For those that have been initiated in the show over the last several years, you know, typically on Thursdays, we do predictions. Prediction Thursday. We have Nitpick Tuesday. Basically, free for all Wednesday. But on Thursdays, we look for your Pats predictions. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm already sensing, and I said this yesterday, and I think we may even talked about it a little bit, but I said this yesterday, I'm sensing extreme overconfidence for game two.
Among fans.
Fans.
Yeah, not among
not,
players.
Not the team, and I want you to address that in a minute because I know you were there, but I'm just saying, I'm like, wow, nobody has any concerns. It's so early in the season.
I have concerns.
Okay, well, we'll get to those momentarily. But it's so early in the season for, you know, and I guess it's probably a byproduct of the way that they just blitzed through, really, Tennessee. Don't you think?
They did. They looked great last week. And they built up steam. You know, it wasn't like right off the bat great. They stumbled a little bit coming out of that opening kickoff. But they ended up steamrolling. You know, by halftime, the game was fairly out of reach, and then they put it away later in the second half. And great way to start. I was really encouraged by a lot of things in that game. But I get the sense, too, that when everybody is saying it's going to be a blowout like they are this week, that usually doesn't happen. And I think that the Cardinals have just enough talent on that team to keep it close. And I think they're going to do that. I think they're going to, you know, I think the Patriots will win, but it'll be a lot closer than people are expecting.
Well, I'm kind of leaning that way myself. I do feel like, you know, it's a Patriots win. It should be. If this is truly a championship contending team, these are the games you win, and you try not to, I hate to say it, you try not to break a sweat, even though, you know, you're gonna. But in just the overall thought process. Now, what I want fans to do, obviously, first of all, you got to join us in the program. So many ways to join us. I'll just lay them all out. Webradio@patriots.com is the normal email address. Webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Again, that's area code 508-298-0398.
888-298-0398. Now's a good time to jump in. Early in the show is always a good time to jump in. So if you want to get on the show, you want to be a part of the Patriots playbook, now's the best time, because later in the show we get going with guests and, you know, we can get you when we can get you, but, you know, we don't ever turn anybody away on this program. I want you to know that, unlike some talk shows and things like that, that you probably hear in your own local radio stations, wherever you may reside. But here, you get your shot and you get your however many minutes you need to take to get your point across. Now's a good time. Social media. Two great ways to get a hold of us. Facebook. John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. If you haven't friended, you may friend. We'll chat, we'll post, we'll do all kinds of things. We'll exchange information on the Facebook page and the Twitter page. And I'm so close.
How many?
I need 10.
Oh, come on. We can do it.
I need 10. Can we get 10 by the end of the show today?
Yes.
In the next 2 hours?
Come
can
on.
I get 10 new followers on the Twitter page? At JRook0722. Okay? At J-R-O-O-K-E. 0722. It's really simple. You know, our good friend Patriots.com just retweeted me, you know, the Patriots playbook on the
air. That'll help.
Right.
They have tens of thousands.
Well, I realize they do. So you've just gotten the tweet. You've just tuned in. You want to hear what it's all about. This is what it's all about. It's our 12th year to broadcast the playbook here on Patriots.com radio. We're so far out in front of everybody else in the league when it comes to live radio programming. It's not even close. Realizing we did this at the turn of the millennium, we were doing this.
Yeah, when people, I mean, the
when the internet was still
a baby.
Yes, very much so a baby. And we were doing this. So, you know, that's one of the great things about being, you know, a part of this organization that you and I are. I mean, you work for the team magazine. We do radio. We do, you know, television appearances. We're all over the place, which is great because we're getting a chance to do what we love to do, and that's cover football. But we actually get a chance to do it with an organization that does things, you know, we hope to, you know, we like to think the right way that they should be done. That doesn't mean that we're not open for criticism. So we're definitely open for that, and you're certainly welcome to do that at any point in time.
We certainly do.
Yeah, we criticize the hell out of each other. But anyway, those are the ways you get a hold of us here in the program. Need your score predictions for Sunday, okay? Need them. Cue them up. Let them go. What are the score? What's the score going to be, and how is this game going to be decided? What's going to be the key point in the game for you? Turnovers, defense, they're going to roll up the score on the offense, they're going to roll over the Arizona defense, or does Arizona have a surprise or two in store? That's what I want to know. And if we've got Cardinals fans listening, and I'm guessing we do, we welcome you into the program. You are part of this. We're not going to treat you like they treat Santa Claus in Philadelphia, okay? Mm-hmm. Very simple. You have a voice. You have the ability to have your 2 cents worth. Just, you know, we don't need a whole lot of rah-rah stuff. This ain't no college program, okay? Just, you know, bring it strong, bring facts. If you think your team's got a shot, tell us why. Very simple. Very simple. But we want you a part of it if you want to be a part of it. Every once in a while, when it gets to Jets week, we get a few Jets fans in.
Sure. We have a lot of teams. We have a lot of fans from other teams.
We have a lot of Giants fans
Steelers,
who listen to
Giants,
us all the time, too, right?
Yep. Plenty of teams, fans that have called in here before, written in.
Yep. Yeah, and one lone Oklahoma Sooner.
Do we still have that soundbite?
Who's
calling him?
I know. Yeah, Kevin's in there. He's not paying attention. Kevin? Now he's going to listen. Yeah, now he's going to pay attention.
Because he's one of our
favorites,
all-time
stripper. Send you that? He's an.
I slipped and used that word against Andy last week.
You did?
I did. Yeah.
Wow.
I slipped.
What was the context?
Him being himself. He's just, I got tired of him.
Sometimes, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. I can understand that.
Oh, no, you know what? It wasn't him. I take that back.
No?
No, it was not him.
What the hell?
It was some emailer. And he might have been laughing, I think, at what the guy said. But anyway, I digress.
Okay.
So you're not alone. You're not the only one who's ever done that.
Nice to know. Okay. It's all good, I guess. Okay. So score, prediction, how's it going to break down in your estimation? That's what we want to know. Hit us up, webradio@patriots.com, Facebook page, John.Rook, and Twitter, @JRook0722. Do it! Okay. We'll get into, you know, some things with Russell coming up in a little bit as well in the hour number two. We take a look at the second week of the NFL season. We'll go through some of the key games. We always look at divisional opponents and the games as well, and teams and games that are in action that would affect the Patriots in the immediate future. So we'll probably take a look at the Ravens this week as well. So we always start turning the page just a little bit with Russell Baxter. That's coming up in hour number two. Now, let's kind of go back here to what we got for this week and today. You were out at practice, obviously. How about a little practice report and just what
great
you saw
news.
And what you witnessed out there?
Great news. Full pads, and everybody was there. It's a beautiful
everybody?
Day. Everybody. Dan Connolly returned from his head injury. Full padded up.
Wow.
Completely out there.
That
everybody.
Is,
yeah.
That's all right. That's a step in
beautiful.
The right direction.
We've had great weather this week, and it looks like Sunday's going to be another dandy, too.
Yeah.
John.
Well,
so,
it's 80 degrees out there right now, which is just
yeah,
awesome,
sunny,
right?
No clouds. It's going to be a great weekend. Last weekend in Tennessee, same thing. Great conditions. It was perfect. It was the same weather in Tennessee, and I think it's come up this week for us, and it's going to be that way on game day. Let me just check the updated forecast here quickly, John. Oh, a little chillier. Sunday, around 70.
That's great day. That's
no,
a great day. 70 degrees?
0% precip forecast right now.
That's
perfect.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Little chill of fall in the air.
I like it.
I do, too.
Works for me. Nathan sends this on Facebook. He says, John and Eric, can you guys address our secondary and if they are making strides? I love the new additions on the defensive front, but the secondary still scares the hell out of me. I'm interested in hearing about McCourty, Arrington, and Dowling specifically. And then he says, Patriots 28, Cardinals 17.
Good I
stuff,
like that
Nathan.
Score.
Yeah,
I like that score. I think that's
it's about
be
it.
In, yeah.
It's in the ballpark?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, I'd like to... I mean, this offense is obviously capable of scoring 30 to 40 points on pretty much anybody. But for some reason, I think this one's going to be a little bit more difficult, I guess is the right word.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I don't know why I'm feeling that. But I think maybe they will be able to run the ball a little bit more and run the clock, and maybe they won't have as many possessions. I don't know. I just get the feeling that they won't be in the position to put up that many points.
Okay. What about the secondary? McCourty and
all right. Well, we
Arrington, Dowling.
Yeah, they started off shaky, and I started in Tennessee last week, mm-hmm. and I started to get a little worried that, all right, same old from last year. But they tightened up. I was glad to see that. Your starters are McCourty and Arrington.
Mm-hmm.
Dowling comes in as the nickel, but he's not the slot nickel. He goes on the edge, and they move Arrington in as your slot corner, which I think is appropriate because Arrington is more of a slot-type corner, and Dowling is more of an outside guy. I hope they can continue to show what they did last week, which was a little bit of improvement over last year. Now, they weren't gangbusters by any means, but which is why I still have my concerns about that group as a whole. They're lucking out in a way because it looks like Kevin Cobb is going to start. And
he was named the starter today, I believe, by Arizona. And we'll check in. We'll get more of that coming up in about 15 minutes.
Okay. Now, whether Skelton or Cobb is going to be out there, I think that's a weakness for the Cardinals, quarterback position.
Okay.
And that might help a little bit in neutralizing the likes of Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd and some of the other weapons that they have.
Who gets the assignment, you think, on Fitzgerald? Is it McCourty?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think so. I think number one goes against number one.
Okay.
And by default, McCourty's your number one, really.
Right.
At this point. And, I like the way he played against Tennessee overall. And I like the way the secondary overall played. And they tackled well, which was something that was a problem for this team last year. So I do have my concerns a little bit in that area still, but I think if the front seven can get to the quarterback again this week like they did last week, that'll help out quite a bit.
Chris says, Pats 30, Cards 19. Pats take early lead but lose momentum in second half. Fourth quarter, Fitzgerald TD makes us a bit nervous, mm-hmm. but Ridley's able to wind down the clock for us.
Okay, I like that too. That's within the 14-point
right.
spread that Vegas has on this game. I don't have any problem with Vegas making that spread because the Patriots are certainly capable easily of doing that, but I just don't think it's going to happen this week. I think they're going to keep it. The Cardinals are going to keep it closer.
Okay,
and that score is about right. That's
30-19.
Points.
Yeah, I'm right in the ballpark to be honest with you on that one. Oh, what's the spread? 13.5.
14
now.
Yeah.
I mean, even for a home game, that's just large. I'm not buying two touchdowns. I know I heard you guys do your picks at the end of the PFW in Progress show, and I'm kind of with you and Fred on this one. I do like the Patriots, but I do like Arizona to cover that nut.
Yeah, maybe I'm buying too much of what the players are saying in the locker room too, because they are really selling the Cardinals.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Well, naturally they have to. They've been studying the Cardinals
over
all
the
week,
top,
right?
Selling them.
Yeah. Well, what is it specifically that they're saying that they're concerned about?
Well, Fitzgerald, obviously. One of the best receivers in the game, and rightly so. And they're right about that. But particularly, we're hearing a lot about this defensive front, how big and fast, mobile these guys are. Campbell, Dockett, in particular, are names that have been mentioned all week. Peterson as a dual threat, defense and special teams. So there's Beanie Wells at running back. There's enough talent on this Arizona team to scare you. And one thing that some of the media were pointing out to players was, going back to last season, they've won, I think, 8 of their last 10 games.
Mm.
Half of them were in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting that Logan Mankins was talking today about how this is a team that, you know, that record there indicates that they never quit. They're always fighting. They play for 60 minutes. Think back to the last time the Cardinals and Patriots played. That was 4 years ago here at Gillette. It was a snowy game. You remember?
Yeah.
Blowout.
Yeah, it was a blowout.
The Cardinals had Kurt Warner as their quarterback at the time, I believe. They gave up at opening kickoff. That game was over before it started.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that game. There was a defensive lineman or linebacker who came out running onto the field with, you know how when you're a kid and you don't have any gloves and you pull your long sleeves over your hands and you run out like this to keep your your hand? He ran out onto the field like that and took a play like that with his hands up there and his sleeves like that. Indicative of how the Cardinals gave up that game.
Yeah, they kind of did.
This Cardinals team might be a little bit different. They might be a little mentally stronger. Ken Wisenhunt's done a pretty good job down there, I think, with his coaching staff to toughen this team up a little bit. And it's a weak division, but they're competing for it every year, so you got to give them credit for that.
Okay, cool. Ray says, score prediction for Sunday, Patriots 28, Arizona 10. No field goals, 3 passing touchdowns, and a running touchdown. Brandon Lloyd has a big day. Chandler Jones cements his name as one of the best defensive rookies in the NFL. And by the way, he says,
okay.
2 o'clock never comes fast enough. Thanks for making my 2 to 4 period the least productive at work.
Wow, that's what we're here for.
Thank you, Ray. Our job is done. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Ray. That's greatly appreciated. All right. You know, it's kind of funny he says that about Chandler Jones because, you know, you and I, we laughed about this, and I said tongue-in-cheek yesterday that Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower were, you know, sort of patted on the back by Bill when actually he was kind of like castigating them a little bit because he wanted to make sure that nobody gets too cocky and that
right. They're
still rookies out there. But to me, that is his way of, you know, honoring and letting guys know that you're doing your job or at least you have a chance to be good because he's staying on them.
Oh, I see what you mean. If they weren't good enough, if they hadn't performed well enough, he wouldn't
I don't think
to,
he would have gone over the top to rein them in.
Yeah, I see. All right.
Don't you feel like that's Belichick? That's his way. That's what he's done
right. In
the past.
He is
with other top
acknowledging
performers.
Acknowledging that they had a great game.
Right. That is his acknowledgement that they are off and running. But let's not put them in Canton yet. You know that kind of thing.
Right.
And Chandler Jones could very well. I mean, he's got. I love his swim move. It's awesome when he's running, and he's got. You know, he's working on the opposing lineman. Obviously, that's something that linemen will continue to adjust to as they, you know, watch, you know, videotape and see him coming at him. But he is
well. The move.
He's got good speed.
The move that he used to get to Locker on the strip sack wasn't just a swim move. He faked the direction that he was going in at the snap. He pretended he was going inside. He did a little stutter step move, which got Michael Roos, the Titans' left tackle, to sort of bite a little bit. And then he gave him the swim move, which helped him beat him cleanly and get to Locker.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that he has the swim move. He's got a little bit of a – he's got some counter to him.
A little bit?
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
And he stands up. He can rush from standing up or with his hand in the ground, which is – it's not as easy as it sounds, you know, because it's two different there's two different techniques involved in that, mm-hmm. and he was doing both on Sunday, which was impressive.
Well, if he is able to have any kind of the impact this week that he did last week, it'll be pretty hard, I believe, for Bill to keep the hype down, although I know he'll do his best to do it, but he'll still get asked the questions about Chandler Jones, and mm-hmm. Jones is the kind of guy that, you know, is sort of unassuming, and he's filling the role nicely. I think the veterans are pleased with his low-key attitude right now, which is really what they ask all rookies to do. He and Hightower not saying much, which is part of the Patriot way in the locker room down the hallway here, but he's still going to be asked questions, and he's still going to get more and more notoriety if he continues to, you know, make plays and become a factor like he certainly was in his debut.
Sure. And, yeah, and let's not forget the other guys, Hightower, Wilson. Those guys are either starting and or contributing on a regular basis, and they're bringing a new element so far to this defense that was lacking last year, playmaking ability. There's some talent there now. And Wilson, I don't know if Wilson's necessarily – I don't know if you can characterize him as talented in the same way that maybe Hightower and Jones are, but he puts himself in the position to make plays, mm-hmm. which is in some respects more important than having, because if you have the talent and don't use it, it's a waste. But if you make up for that lack of talent with being in the right spot and doing what you're supposed to do, which I think Wilson has done, we saw that in the case of the interception that he made. You can still be a playmaker.
Okay. Joe in Michigan says via email, John and Eric, here's my prediction for the week. I believe the Patriots win 38-16. I think Brady throws four touchdowns.
Wow.
Two going to Gronk, one each to Hernandez and Lloyd. Welker has a decent day with receiving but doesn't find the end zone, finishing with seven catches, 80 yards. Ridley will have his second 100-yard game of the season.
Wow.
110, scoring another touchdown. Cardinals will have a passing TD to Fitzgerald and three field goals. Cobb can't handle the pressure from the Patriots front seven but finds the end zone with Fitzgerald over the developing secondary. Can't wait to hear you guys blow this apart.
No,
Patriots.
I would love that to happen. It almost sounds like last week.
It does a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd love for it to happen. I just I'm just being a little more cautious. That's all.
It's all right.
I could see it happening because now let's look at this. Arizona, they have won, you know, like we said, 8 of the last 10. But historically, they don't travel well. They don't come across the country and have much success. You know, they can, within their division and on the West Coast and, you know, mountain time, they're competitive, but they don't always come to the East Coast and rip it up. So you have that going for you.
Well, let's find out why that is. Darren Urban covers the Cardinals for Cardinals.com, and he joins us here inside the playbook. Darren, thanks for a couple of minutes. It's John and Eric here in Foxborough.
How you guys doing?
Great. How's it going with you?
It's been going fine.
Excellent.
We'll see what happens this weekend.
Well, let's address that point that Eric was just talking about. Why does it seem, or why do we have the perception that the Cardinals don't always travel well, especially when they come to the East Coast? Can you give us some perspective on that, maybe?
Well, I would say that the number one reason you guys wouldn't have perspective that they travel well is because the last time they did it, came to your place, the Patriots beat the snot out of them. I mean, I would think that would be probably a lasting memory for a lot of people around New England. So that would probably be number one. But, you know, I think if you look across the league, I think a lot of teams struggle going west to east. You know, there was always that talk, and I know there was some, you know, things done about the, for instance, the Patriots having to come out when they had to visit a couple of NFC West teams a few years ago. And, in fact, they actually scrambled up the rotation for, there's a reason like the Cardinals are coming to New England twice in a row without the Patriots coming to Arizona.
Right.
In part because they moved the rotation, in part mm-hmm. because they didn't want a team like New England having to go all the way out west. And unfortunately, nobody really thinks much about the teams going west to east and having the early start time. I mean, the bottom line is this game is going to kick off at 10 a.m. Arizona time this weekend, and that's always tough on a player's body that's used to playing, you know, early afternoon at the earliest, usually. And I think that's part of it. And, you know, it's not like when you're going east and playing a Patriots or, you know, when this team lost the Jets in 08. I mean, it's not like you're playing terrible teams either. And so I think that's part of it. But I think for the most part this organization has gotten on its feet a little bit better in terms of learning how to travel. The team will go out Friday and get to actually Providence late Friday night, so they'll have a day to adjust a little bit. And I think that's the hope that, you know, that kind of thing and the travel part of it is gotten better. And, you know, we'll see what that happens on Sunday. I mean, obviously it would help if, you know, the quarterback situation was a little more stable too. Those things, the actual things on the field actually play a role in this too.
Absolutely.
I had a question for you. You mentioned the quarterbacks there. Really, how close was the competition between Cobb and Skelton this summer?
I think it was very close. I mean, Ken Wisenhunt has said that a few times, and, you know, I think there was a reason why, there was nothing announced until after the final preseason game, and it's because it was close. Now, you can argue a couple different ways. You know, was it close because neither one pulled away from the other? And, I think a lot of people would look at it as the latter, but that doesn't mean it was any less close. So, the day that Wisenhunt announced that Skelton was going to be the starter, he made it very clear that, you know, the chances were good that at some point Cobb was going to play this season, whether it was injury or whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the league works, and that was the probability. And, nobody thought it was going to be the first game of the year because of an injury, but that's how it worked out.
Now, speaking of the quarterback situation for this week, Kevin Cobb is going to be the guy. At least that's, you know, certainly what we've been told here. If you could make sure that that's official for us, because that's what we've heard. Figured you would probably know best, so that's why we saved the question for you.
Well, officially, he has not been named the starter. I mean, I think a lot of people are making the assumption, and it's a fair assumption. I mean, you got Skelton going down with an injury, and he didn't practice yesterday. You would figure Kevin would be the starter. But as of right now, Wisenhunt has not named Kevin Cobb the for-sure starter. He continues to say there's going to be a couple days to see if Skelton can get better before the game. So whether it's about tipping his hand or whether there's a realistic chance of it, I'm not sure. But I don't know if you're going to get anything official out of the Cardinals of who's going to start today, for instance. So we'll see if something happens on Friday. But I
okay.
would suppose that if John Skelton can do anything this week, that there's a chance that nothing will be announced.
So they're what time do they practice today out there?
They're actually, I believe, they're about to get started. They'll finish up here right around 2 o'clock Arizona time, which would
okay.
be 5 o'clock New England time. And then, obviously the injury report would come out sometime after that.
Okay, fair enough. Read one of your pieces on Cardinals.com today, Darren, that kind of intrigued me because it seems like as far as your tight ends are concerned, and you've got a guy that, you know, our fans will be familiar with in Todd Heap, who backs up Jeff King, I believe, in particular from his time in Baltimore, but that the thought process behind going into creating this position, if you will, under Ken Wisenhunt, is a lot. It seems to be similar to what the Patriots have tried to do with their tight ends. In other words, mobile guys that can go get the ball and be receivers almost rather than just blockers.
I think there's no question that would be something that the Cardinals would like to develop. I mean, they took a guy, Rob Housler, in the draft last year in the third round, who is more of the prototype of today's tight end, which is kind of tall, athletic, pass receiver, maybe
yeah.
a little bit lesser of a blocker.
Kind of like Aaron Hernandez for us.
Yeah. And when they took Housler, that's the first guy I thought of was Aaron Hernandez. And in fact, when Hernandez was on the board, I was wondering very seriously if this team would take a look at him and possibly take him. And I think every team would like that because, you know, as I noted in the story and as the Patriots have capitalized on greatly, it's about mismatches, and if you can get a big guy who is athletic enough to get down the field, it's tough for defenses to find a way to cover him. And I think the Cardinals would like to do that, but they still have Jeff King as their starter, who is a little bit better receiver than, you know, people probably give him credit for, but he's probably a blocker first. And in a lot of ways, this team operates its passing game through the wide receivers. There's no question about that. They'll use the tight end once in a while, but it's definitely wide receiver driven, and that's not just because of Larry Fitzgerald. I think that's just how this offense kind of rolls.
Okay. Well, it's intriguing to see teams with similar attitudes or capabilities, what have you, whether or not it's, the ultimate compliment in terms of, this being obviously a copycat league, as all pro leagues usually are. You know, when one thing works, everybody wants a little bit of a piece of it, and it doesn't really matter. If you go out and get the personnel and you got the personnel to run it, doesn't matter how you run it, as long as it works. But I thought that was, it certainly intrigued me from that standpoint because I wasn't really aware of that. I'd known who Rob Hausler was in particular, but I was just kind of curious to know, about his development overall, whether or not you think he still can be the type of guy that they initially drafted him for.
Well, I think at this point, it's still early to tell. He struggled last year with some injuries, and in fact, he was set back a little bit in the preseason dealing with a hamstring. And, like anything, guys, you got to be on the field to really develop. And I think there's been some issues there in terms of being able to stay healthy enough to do that. And he is coming from Florida Atlantic. It's not exactly a big school. So I think there was some learning curve there in terms of speed of the game and not just being able to rely on athletic ability to get your job done. So, but I definitely think there's still a hope around here for sure in this early part of the process that he can develop into that kind of threat. And, we'll see what happens as this year develops. But I don't think there's any question that's what the Cardinals are hoping.
Patriots did a great job last week of neutralizing Chris Johnson and the Titans' running game. How are Beanie Wells and the rest of the Cardinals' backfield going to deal with that?
I think that's a great question. The Cardinals were hoping to, be a team that could run the ball a little bit. They liked the year Beanie Wells had last year. They were happy about Ryan Williams coming back from his injury. And then they went out last week and they really struggled. Some of that had to do with their offensive line issues and blocking it, and some of it I'm sure had to do with the running backs. But, the two of them combined for 23 yards rushing, I think, on only 15 carries. And it didn't help that this offense went nowhere for a good chunk of the second half, going three and out a bunch of times. So there weren't a whole lot of plays in the first place. But you see what the Patriots did last week, to Chris Johnson, to the Titans. I think it's got to be a concern around here that, the Patriots can turn them one-dimensional, because there's no question, again, given the quarterback situation with the Cardinals and trying to make things work, that they want that balance. They want to make sure the threat of the run is there because, like anything, you start making a team one-dimensional, they're so much more easy to defend.
Sure. Darren, let's flip it to the other side. We know that in talking to other people who have to face the Patriots offense, that it's almost like a pick your poison type of situation, because the Patriots can come at you in so many different ways. And last week, the Patriots saw the emergence of a potential running game with Stephen Ridley in the backfield. You know of the two tight ends. We've already talked about that as well. Brandon Lloyd at receiver, Wes Welker underneath. Do you feel like defensively that this is exactly what Arizona has to do in order to, stay with the Patriots and have an opportunity to take one on the road? Or is there a different approach, do you feel, going into this thing on Sunday?
Well, I think when the Cardinals are approaching it defensively, obviously the Patriots have a ton of weapons. There's no question about that, and no one's going to argue that here. I do think that the Cardinals defense has a confidence right now that they didn't have at this time last year. They had just gotten in after the lockout with the new defensive coordinator, Ray Horton, and quite frankly, they were swimming and trying to learn it. Guys willing to talk about it now that the worst is past, admit now that, at that point, they just didn't know enough about it. And it showed up a few times, and it really burned them, most notably when Cam Newton had his 422 yards passing in his first game. With all due respect to Cam Newton, I think a lot of that had to do with a defense that just was clueless in a lot of different areas. So I think they're in such a better spot right now with a whole season and then an off season to learn more of Horton's system. And, it's not going to be easy going against Tom Brady. They know that. And they know there's a lot of different areas. And now with Ridley emerging, that just gives the Patriots another dimension that you got to deal with. But I think the Cardinals like the different looks that they can give teams. They kind of come from that Pittsburgh mold. That's where Horton is from. In terms of blitzers, can come from anywhere. They can do a lot of different things. And I think they're just hoping, maybe you get a couple turnovers there. Obviously, this team has been good about staying close in games because of their defense, and they're hoping that the same can happen this weekend.
All right, well, then, in particular, what do you feel like this game breaks down to? What does Arizona need to do, in your estimation, beyond what you've already told us, in order to be able to, you know, come out on the road and grab one?
Well, I think the number one thing is they can't get in a hole early. A couple times when they went on the road last year, and they got knocked around a couple times because they started turning the ball over. Minnesota is a game in particular that I remember where, you know, they're down 21-0 10 minutes into the game, and they can't be in that situation. And they're clearly against the Patriots, the way they can move the ball and that kind of thing, that's a very, you know, real possibility if you turn the ball over. So they got to be smart there. They've got to be, you know, not rushing things and turning the ball over. And I think they obviously they have to score some points. I mean, you're not going to beat the Patriots scoring two touchdowns, and I think they understand that. And they're going to have a defense that, you know, comes up with some plays, too. I mean, one of the things, as well as this team played defensively down the stretch last year, they didn't get a ton of turnovers, especially interceptions. And, you know, that's not exactly an easy thing to do with Tom Brady, but they've got to find a way to get a turnover or two. Because usually on the road, if you're pulling one out, it's because you're able to get a break or two in the game. And I think that that's something that they have this weekend to get an upset.
All right, Darren Urban, Cardinals.com. Darren, thanks for the time this afternoon. Have safe travels this way, and we'll see you on Sunday.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Darren. All right, Darren Urban, Cardinals.com. So you get a little insight right there on Arizona. They're hopeful of, you know, doing what every team really is hopeful of doing. When you get out on the road, you know you have an opponent that's going to be stacked and should be favored to beat you, especially when it's a double-digit deficit that they're facing. If you go by the odds makers, you know what? Just stay in the game. Ride that first wave of emotion. Don't get blown out of the gate right off the bat so you don't lose interest, like happened here 3 years ago, I guess it was. You know, and maybe a couple of turnovers or a kicking game return or a defensive score, something like that, will keep you in it, give you momentum, get past that initial shock factor in the opening quarter.
Yeah, I think they're capable of it. I do. I think there's enough talent on this Cardinals team that They can give the Patriots a fight.
Even if Kevin Cobb's the quarterback.
Even if Kevin Cobb's the quarterback. I should say despite Kevin Cobb, the quarterback.
Yeah, right,
maybe.
Right.
But, I'm giving the Cardinals a little too much credit, but that's just my feeling this week, John.
All right. 508-298-0398 is the phone number. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Good time to jump in. Email webradio@patriots.com. I sense that we have an overwhelming amount of apathy on this one simply because they're just not coming in with the emails. Nobody wants to predict it because they think it's a fait accompli.
People looking ahead to Baltimore
already. Looking ahead to Baltimore. And I feel like next week we'll probably get inundated with this stuff.
Sure.
But, you know, you got to take – I mean, literally, if there's ever a sport – that you have to take one at a time, one week at a time, one game at a time, one minute at a time, is the NFL.
And
it just is.
Just remember, go back to the years when they won the Super Bowl, 03, 04. The games you never thought that they would lose, that Monday night game in Miami. You know, they were on a roll, and Miami was atrocious that year. And the Patriots lost. You never know in the NFL. The margin between good, great, and bad teams is very small. Anything can happen. It's a cliche, I know, any given Sunday, but it's so true. And I'm not taking this game for granted.
Also, John.Rook on Facebook, @JRook0722 is the Twitter page. Come on, I need eight more. Let's go. Eight more. @JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. Do it! Let's take a quick timeout. Come back and continue in the playbook.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay. along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Welcome back in the playbook as we roll along here with Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly. I'm John Rook. We have Russell S. Baxter coming up in 15 minutes here on the program. In the meantime, you know, we want your score predictions. You got to step out. Let it rip. Whatever you got. What do you think about this week? Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the phone number. Here we go. Patrick from Duluth, Minnesota. Great job as usual from both of you. Thank you, Patrick. I agree with the prediction of a few minutes ago of 38-16 or maybe 20 for the Cards. I think Welker will have a bigger day. Ridley will be slightly under 100 yards with 20 carries. I do think the Cards will score the first touchdown with Fitzgerald making us all nervous, but then we'll settle down from there.
Wow.
Plausible scenario.
Still ends up with a blowout, though.
Yeah. Plausible scenario. Robin in Alaska says, Rook, the Cardinals reporter spoke quickly, so if I misunderstood, then that could be why, but did he insinuate some scheduling conspiracy was occurring in relation to coast-to-coast travel? That favoritism is being shown to franchises like the Patriots with a rotation change, which is why the Cardinals are yet again at Gillette. If so, this guy must not realize the Patriots have been selected for London again this year. That a couple of years ago, they had two West Coast games back-to-back, stayed out there for them. The only mystery here is how can conspiracy theories like this stay alive? It's a good question. I think it's legitimate, Robin. I kind of let it go, and I'll tell you why I let it go. Really for the reason you said, because the Patriots did play in London, playing in London. But I think that's just sometimes for some teams, they like to have something to hang their hats on.
Here's what happened, and I know this because we got an email from the league about it.
Okay.
In 2008, like Darren said, the Patriots had four West Coast trips, and the NFL scheduled it so that we could have back-to-back West Coast trips, mm-hmm. two separate times, and we stayed out on the West Coast for the entire week. It helped us, or, you know, the idea was it'll help save on having to make four coast-to-coast trips. So they were kind enough to do that for us. The Jets also had four West Coast trips that year, but the league didn't schedule it so that they could have back-to-back games. They had to make four trips. The Jets made a stink about it to the league, and so the league said, okay, to appease them, from now on, if the schedule comes out and a team has four coast-to-coast, East Coast or West Coast, so that would include the Cardinals, the Seahawks, all those teams, the Raiders, all those teams on the West Coast, if they have to make four East Coast trips, we will switch two of them to home games so that they don't have to, instead of accommodating the schedule like they did for New England to have back-to-back, they just said, you know what, we'll avoid the four altogether and we'll make two of those home games and take two home games that are closer and make them road games.
Okay.
That's what happened. Maybe Darren didn't understand or didn't read that memo from the league, but that's why the scheduling change happened. We were supposed to go to Arizona this year based on the four-year rotational thing. And it happened last year as well with a couple of other games. So that's the reason why there's the scheduling anomaly with Arizona this year, coming back here after having been here 4 years ago.
Interesting. Okay. Tim in British Columbia says, I think the point spread in week two of the season is a bit of a stretch, especially for two teams who aren't overly familiar with one another. That being said, I do think the Pats will win. I don't think we'll be wearing the edge of our seats or spitting fingernails. I don't see who Arizona has to run the ball and eat the clock. Losing the time of possession isn't the way of beating the Pats. Looking forward to seeing how the defense matches up against one of the top receivers in the league. Call me greedy, but I want a McCourty pick six with Cobb under pressure. And Tim says, 31-20 Pats. And then ask Eric if there's any team in the NFL who he thinks the Pats would beat comfortably this Sunday.
Any team in any the league team that, they would beat comfortably?
That they would beat comfortably?
Cleveland would be one. I think Miami. When they play them, they have to play them twice. I think they could beat them comfortably both times.
Especially here?
Yeah. Who else is a terrible team? I think they could beat Oakland pretty handily, too.
Do you?
Yeah. Oakland there are some teams out there, yeah. Yeah.
Oakland gave them a test for a while last year. For a while.
Yeah, but this is a different team this year.
Right, okay.
Yeah, there are teams that they could beat handily. like I said, maybe I'm just buying into a little bit of the hype too much this week about Arizona, but I don't want to take the game for granted.
It's okay to buy into the hype just a little bit. It's actually okay to do that. Okay, so while we have this team ready to roll on Sunday in here, and the Patriots are looking to get off on the right foot on the home schedule, we all know that the home schedule is certainly an important one for the Patriots to win out every time out. You like to think this team is capable of going 8-0 at home in the regular season. If they're going to be not only a playoff contender, but potentially a number one or number two seed in the AFC when all is said and done, potentially a Super Bowl contender on down the line, certainly 7-1, 8-0 has got to be, you know, in the thought process, if not, maybe to a lesser extent 6-2, but then you almost have to piggyback that with a 6-2 on the road if you're going to, you know, slip a little and go 6-2 at home. So this is one of those games that, yes, we certainly realize the Patriots should win, and the odds makers agree with a 14-point spread right now. I'm going to go with, and I know you gave yours a little while ago, but I'll let you give it again in a moment. I'm going to go with Patriots 31, Cardinals 20. I'm going to go with 31-20. And I did say originally that I did.
11 points, that falls within the margin.
I did like the thought process that you and Fred had earlier about with a 14-point spread, like the Patriots to win. I'm not sure that they'll be challenged, but I do like the Cardinals to cover it. And my guess is it's probably a late cover. So the score will probably look a little closer than the game may really end up becoming. Mm-hmm. In other words, I think the Patriots will probably have this thing, you know, 31-13 or 31-7 or something like that, and then the Cardinals probably get a late score or even two to make this thing a little bit more plausible, because the Patriots simply be trying to run out the clock.
I see a touchdown each quarter for New England, and they win 28-17.
Okay. 7-7-7-7, right across the board.
Yep.
28-17.
Running the ball fairly well, long sustained drives, and I think, like you said, it's not as close initially as it seems toward the end. I think maybe they get a late score to make it a little closer.
That's what I'm saying, late cover. I think the defense will play well. I think the defense probably has an opportunity to limit Arizona to right around 300 yards or less, as they held Tennessee to last week. But I think that late in the game, Arizona probably get a couple of cheapies, you know, against largely the second teamers for the Patriots, and that's probably how they, you know, make the score look at least a little bit more respectable. And again, I'm not really taking anything away from Arizona. I think we realize that they have some outstanding personnel. I just don't think it's as good as New England's. And when you take into consideration they've got to travel the three time zones, they are going west to east, as you know Darren Urban was talking about. I simply think that this is probably a little bit much for them to not only bite off but to chew in week two of the season. If this were reversed, I'd certainly think that Arizona would have a chance to win at home. If this were reversed and later in the year, especially if the Cardinals are somehow in contention with the 49ers in the NFC West, then I'd say, okay, you might have to consider this. You might have to take a good, strong look at it. But right now, this stage, early in the year, Patriots were rolling after week one against Tennessee. There's no reason to believe they can't continue to keep that momentum going.
And let's not forget, when they came here 4 years ago and got blown out,
that's what everybody thinks back to, Eric. Darren actually referred to that.
Yeah.
He's not surprised that Patriots fans might be a little complacent, because the last time Arizona was here, they stunk. They stunk the joint up.
But let's remember that after that game, they went to the Super Bowl.
And were a whisker
away from winning it.
They were there. The Patriots were not. That's a very good point.
And probably should have won that game.
Probably should have won that
Super Bowl.
Okay.
Odd as it is to look back on that.
We'll try not to. All right, so the Cardinals in here, 1 o'clock on Sunday. I'll see you then, my friend, before, right?
That's right.
Oh, before I let you go, quick word. Tomorrow is the Patriots Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Saturday, excuse me.
Yep. I keep thinking today's Friday. Tomorrow's Friday, then Saturday. So in 2 days, Patriots will have the Hall of Fame induction ceremony for Troy Brown. What are your thoughts on Troy?
Man, I tell you what, he's as Patriot a story as there is. A guy who was, you know, cut, I forget how many times initially in his career, but kept being brought back, practice squad, regular, active roster, turned into one of the greatest players of all time in this franchise. Wes Welker, just the other day, tied his record for most catches in a career.
And so it'd probably be somewhat ironic that Welker breaks Troy Brown's record on Sunday.
On Sunday, yeah, it would be appropriate, wouldn't it?
Sure would be. I guess that's probably one of the things I'll be announcing at some point, right?
I think so. Well, I think you'll see that.
That's a safe bet.
You'll get the shot at some point of Troy Brown clapping up in the owner's box.
Probably so. By the way, Tim just Facebooked us back here. He says, you stole my prediction. Yes, I did, Tim. 31-20 sounded good. I'm going with it. And he says, Eric will be buying the hype surrounding Miami when BB touts them as amazing before the game, too. But hey.
No, I don't.
He says, but hey, that's why we love him better than blind homerism.
Yeah, you'll never get blind homers.
No, here. You're negative Nancy on this show.
Oh, stop it. I am not negative.
No, you don't have to be. It's always good to have a system of checks and balances.
That's right.
All righty, Big E, we'll see you on Sunday.
See you, man.
Yep, you got it. Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly, timeout time, and then the guru himself, Russell Baxter, here in the playbook.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success, Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football.
and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Hour number two, Patriots Playbook for a Thursday on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. We'll take our look around the National Football League for week two. Welcoming in pro football guru Russell S. Baxter, also of ProFootballGuru.com. How about Bleacher Report and Cold Hard Football Facts? Mr. Baxter, if you'll just allow me 2 seconds here because I have to make sure that I've got all my ducks in a row. There you are.
He's on.
How are you?
I'm here.
Yes, you are.
I
had to punch you in. I got a control of this stuff now.
Which is better than punching me out.
Wouldn't do that. I would not pull a Bobby V on
That's
you.
That's why
no.
I stay on the phone.
I appreciate you doing that. No doubt about it. All right, so what did you think? What was the overall feeling, the impression that you were left with week one? How did week one this year differ from week ones in the NFL in previous years? Were you able to make any sort of conjecture that way?
I don't think it varied. We had our share of surprises, and we had our share points. I know there were, I think, a record of amount of teams that scored at least 40.
Right.
I'll tell you what result shocked me the most. And it was not only a result, it was the way it was done. Was how does the team that gave up the most rushing yards in the league last year and had the fewest sacks hold a team to 10 yards rushing?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's the kind of balance you're not looking for. 10 yards rushing and 10 points. And that's what the Carolina Panthers got against Tampa Bay last week. I mean, I thought that was stunning. I don't think it's stunning that Tampa Bay beat them. I think it was stunning on how they were beaten. And you got to give credit a little to Carolina's defense, which was not very good last year either, and they played well. But that's a different type of attitude in Tampa that we saw last year. Where you know they're 4-2 and they lose their last 10 games and they look pretty bad doing it. So I know a lot of people will also be stunned by the fact that the Redskins actually went into New Orleans and beat the Saints. I was shocked. I don't think I was overwhelmingly stunned for just a real basic reason. Are we going to believe, John, all year that the interim of the coach? Is, you know, not going to have his hands full, much less make halftime adjustments. I mean, to me, what was surprising about that was here come the Saints at the end of the half, block a punt, and steal all the momentum away from the Redskins, young team going in there.
Right.
Really affected them. Came the Redskins, business as usual.
Sure enough, yeah.
And a team that, I want people to understand, the Saints won 9 games at home last year. They outscored their 9 opponents by 203 points. And they went in there last week and gave up 40 to the Redskins. And the Redskins looked pretty balanced doing it.
That was, I think, to me, the most shocking performance, I guess, of something that I did not expect in week one. I really thought Washington, and obviously Robert Griffin, but I just, Washington surprised me. I flat out just did not expect that from the Redskins.
No, I mean, you know, what's funny about them is, let's put it this way. I was surprised they scored 40. I know that the Redskins have a very, very respectable defense. You know, their linebacking core, you know, with Kerrigan now and Arakpo and obviously ageless London. I mean, London Fletcher is more ageless than London, England. I mean, the guy just leads the team in tackles every year, every time he plays somewhere. But defensively, they just did one heck of a job on the Saints. And, you know, the Saints, who have a tendency to make themselves one-dimensional to begin with, I mean, here we go again. I mean, how many teams are going to continue to just think that their quarterback is going to carry them? It doesn't work, okay? This isn't pitch and catch. Score as many points as you can, and then, you know, the heck with the running game and the heck with defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that's the case, then, you know, then I don't know much about football, but I do know what history tells me.
Yep.
And we saw, you know, it was really interesting. We saw last year's defending Super Bowl champion lose at home.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the previous Super Bowl champion lose at home. And we saw the previous Super Bowl champion lose at home. And that would be the Giants, the Packers, and the Saints.
Right, right. Okay.
In fact, if you do the math real quick, the last seven teams to win the Super Bowl lost in week one. You throw a couple Giants in there, a couple Steelers in there, the Colts. I know it's a different Colt team. But based on franchises, the last seven teams to win the Super Bowl franchise-wise all lost in week one.
Wow.
I don't know what that means, but it just filled 30 or 40 seconds.
Well,
and I'm all about filler. I'm all about spackle.
And it was spackle. You are the best at NFL spackle. I'll give you that. All right, so let's start spackling. Tonight, the Thursday night game. And by the way, might I add, it is a treat to know that we're going to have Thursday night football for the entire season.
I think it's great. You know what it is? And we are lucky because we get to do something we love.
Yeah.
But you and I now get to do not only a look ahead to the week, we get to do our own pregame show.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We are the pregame. Yes.
Yeah, we got a pre, just like the Saints. The Saints have an interim on the interim on the interim.
Yeah.
We get the pre to the pre.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah.
It works for me.
Yeah.
All right, Bears and Packers tonight. Packers, I have to admit, I didn't see what I thought I would see from them. They were my pick to potentially win the NFC and get to the Super Bowl this year, although, you know, I might be rethinking that if San Francisco keeps going the direction they're going. And Chicago, I thought, was relatively impressive as well, starting in week one. So what were the Packers missing last week that might appear this week somehow at home?
Well, they better find a running game.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers was
he led
probably
them.
Their best runner during the preseason.
And he led them in rushing last week.
And he led
week.
Them
yeah.
in rushing again.
Yeah.
Okay? And this idea of, again, I'm going to keep on repeating myself, but I really don't want to do that. Okay?
Oh, that's all right.
The idea that you're going to get away with not playing defense and you're not tackling and you're not keeping the other team off the field, it doesn't work. I think this might surprise some people. The last three games that the Green Bay Packers have played, and they've lost two of them, the last two, including the playoffs, the Green Bay Packers have given up 108 points. They gave mm-hmm. up 41 to the Lions in the season finale last year. He gave up 37 in the playoff loss to the Giants, and last week 30.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave up all those 108 points at storied Lambeau Field, where you're not supposed to lose games, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? If you don't play defense at home or on the road, you're going to lose games. And I'll tell you, going 0-2, we know teams have won the Super Bowl going 0-2. And by the way, in 2008, three teams in the league actually made the playoffs going 0-2, Miami, Minnesota, and San Diego. So what's so bad about going 0-2? That's the last time.
You got a shot. You got a shot.
But, John, it's also the last time it happened. The last 3 years, 24 teams have opened at least 0-2, and none of them have reached the playoffs.
Okay.
And what would really hurt Green Bay, not only 0-2, it's 0-2 at home.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And losing it to a divisional opponent at home, too, which can sometimes hurt even more.
Why are the Cowboys giddy after what they did last week?
Oh, yeah, it's like three wins. Not only did they win on the road, they won in the division, and they're 1-0.
Right, exactly. I mean, they've already done. The Cowboys last week did something they couldn't do last year, and to boot, they wind up doing it on the Giants' home field, which means they can hold serve at home like they're supposed to. Bingo. We have the tiebreaker over the Giants no matter what happens.
Sure, huge win, huge
right.
win. So Packers are a slight favorite. Do you think they have the edge tonight?
I think they will play hopefully with more desperation than the Bears do. The mm-hmm. Bears are pretty balanced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was funny because if you saw the beginning of the Chicago game last week, and I don't know if you did.
I did not.
It could not have gone any worse for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
First play from scrimmage, Robert Mathis sack. Couple plays later, Cutler drops back. Bingo. He throws a inside the 10 interception return for a touchdown. I mean, it was like, whoa, look at that. And then they settled themselves down, and they've got Matt Forte to run between the 10s, and they got Michael Bush to run into the end zone, and they got Alshon Jeffrey, and, of course, Brandon Marshall, who, you know, pitch and catch with Cutler is a lot, you know, those two obviously know each other well. Defense, solid. You know, not everybody taught me, you know, Andrew Luck had four turnovers last week, three interceptions and a lost fumble. I believe that, you know, the Bears, to me, now I will say this, Jay Cutler, and he has had problems against Dom Capers' defense since both of them arrived in their current homes right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's thrown twice as many interceptions as he has touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Dom Capers defense looks like the Dom Capers defense that we have seen in the last recently, in the stretch that we're talking about, then the Bears are going to walk out of here with the win. But I'm going to take Green Bay on pure grit. Last second field goal, you know, they're going to be in survivor mode tonight. And they're going to need something more than just Aaron Rodgers to bail them out. How ironic would it be if Cedric Benson has a good game against the team that originally drafted him?
Boy, isn't that the case, right?
That would
be ironic. The three AFC East division opponents for the Patriots all in action. We'll start it off with Chiefs at the Bills, and I think both of those teams extremely disappointed with the way they launched last week. Certainly they lost, but maybe the way that they lost. I think more was expected of both. So this is almost like a loser bowl, if you will, in week two already, as both teams desperately try to get back on in good stead.
Well, listen, I got to give the Bills a little credit. Last year at the end of the year in the season finale, remember they were up on 21-0 on New England?
Okay, yep.
And then they gave up the last 49 points of the game and of their season.
Right.
So they obviously made some strides because they only gave up 48 points last week against the Jets.
And then came back and scored meaningless
points thereafter. Well, no, you know what? I'll check that, John. What I will say about the Bills is this, and I got a lot of, to be honest with you, I got a lot of flack on a column I did this week about grading the teams. And a lot of people couldn't understand why I was giving F's across, didn't give F's across the board for the Buffalo Bills. Whether, I mean, people think it was meaningless. Do you realize that was a 13-point game with about 6 minutes left?
I guess I didn't realize that. I kind of gave up on it.
41-7 became 41-28. And mm-hmm. I got news for you. I know this would stun people. You actually could win a game down 13 with 6 minutes left. Mm-hmm. It would not be impossible. So I don't know what you want to credit that to. I've heard people say that the Jets went into a prevent early in the third. I don't know how you figured that out from watching a television. I don't know how many teams are going to prevent defenses also in the third quarter. But Buffalo actually crept their way back into it. Now, they did a lot of damage early on. If you're grading the game, they get an F-minus being down 41-7. I think the most disappointing aspect was the fact that you had Mario Williams and that new look front four get no sacks on Mark Sanchez. I think that was probably the most surprising fact that came out of there. But remember, the Jets offense scored, the defense scored, the special teams scored. They had a field day against the Bills. I mean, I think once it cascaded on the Bills, it was bad. But again, they actually surprisingly got back into them. When I looked up and I went, whoa. And listen, crazier new things didn't happen. How many times did we see last year teams blow 20-point leads?
Yes, that's
true.
So
the Dallas Cowboys do it in their own building against the Detroit Lions. Minnesota made a habit of it.
That's right, they did.
Early in the year. So I will say there was a never-let-say-die aspect. Kansas City was funny because they actually played, I thought, a decent game. But missing Tamba Ali really hurt them in terms of the pass rush. Mm-hmm. They get him back this week. They get him after the suspension. But I don't know if it'll make that big of a difference. I mean, you're right. These are two teams that are, you know, I think people were very disappointed to see they both gave up, you know, 40 or 48 points in their opener. Remember, the Bills went into that building last year and actually beat them 41-7 at Arrowhead. So I'm going to kind of lean probably toward the Bills because they're playing at home. I would not say this is a vote of confidence for either team. I actually like Kansas City this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe they just ran into a hot team. The one thing we're learning about Atlanta is That Matt Ryan, Julio Jones thing,
yeah,
I think we're going to see that all year. We saw it late last year. We're going to see it all this year.
Raiders playing at the Dolphins. Again, both teams, again, disappointed in their openers. In fact, you might even say both teams had really rotten performances, especially Miami. Ryan Tannehill, the rookie quarterback from Texas A&M, got kind of thrown in the frying pan because there really wasn't anything else left to do, and they lost 30-10 at Houston. Is the home field good enough to help Miami at all?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is actually the place where the Raiders' downfall started last year. Remember, the Raiders were 7-4, and they went into Miami and got blasted, 34-14. They wound up losing four of their last five games. What was interesting about the Raiders Monday night is they did everything they could to get the ball to Darren McFadden.
Right.
He not only had 15 carries, he had 13 catches. There were two players who led the league last week, John, in targets. I mean, the NFL now tracks that. How many times a player is
targeted?
The ball.
Yeah, right.
They were Reggie Wayne, not surprising, and Darren McFadden, who got the ball thrown to him 18 times last week by Carson Palmer.
Wow.
13 he caught, but 18 targets. I mean, you would imagine to see three or four wide receivers on that list. It was actually Darren McFadden.
Mm-hmm.
Miami, you know, they're just going to have, I think, trouble scoring points all year because they just don't have a lot of firepower. And, you know, they were kind of competitive for a while, and then before you knew it, it was 24-3 at the half.
Mm-hmm.
And I am now totally convinced that when the league expanded about 10 or 11 years ago, that there was no way that the Miami Dolphins voted for the Houston Texans to come in the league because they are now 0-7 lifetime against them.
Wow.
Which is hard to believe, but it is what it is. The fact is the fact. So,
Houston loves to see Miami on the schedule.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet that they're working on trying to get him on there again. So, I mean, you know, you're talking about a team's only been to the playoffs once in their franchise, but they're 7-0 against Miami. Just sounds odd. To answer your original question, I think the Raiders have more ways to score points. I just don't know where the points are going to come from Miami, unless, of course, it's an interception return for a touchdown, which is what happened to Carson Palmer when he played Miami last year, and is what has happened too many times to Carson Palmer over the last couple of seasons.
Okay. Oakland obviously had real troubles on special teams last week in their loss on Monday night to San Diego, so I would assume that's something that had to have been addressed this week. But
well, they wound up losing the long snapper, I believe, in the game.
Right.
And for people who, you know, who don't put much thought into special teams and just the details that have to go in, it's little things like that. And, you know, block punts and plays on special teams, be it returns or block punts or block field goals, those are kind of like demoralizing plays as far as a team goes.
Okay. And then finally, you've got the Jets. They're on the road at Pittsburgh. Well, this is a tough spot for New York. I mean, I realize that they looked better than a lot of people thought that they might look in their opener in week one, but Pittsburgh's now in an 0-1 hole. They get their home opener. I think that the going will probably be a little tougher for New York. What do they have to do here to win this one?
Well, I think they have to control the ball. I think they have to, I don't think they're going to make a living throwing the ball, downfield against the Steelers. You know, Dustin Keller can be very, very dangerous against Pittsburgh. The teams that play the 3-4 usually leave themselves kind of vulnerable to the tight end. But I think the Jets, we saw such an up-and-down nature with them last year, and I think that's the thing they have to avoid. I mean, their offensive line, obviously, you know, they've got three Pro Bowlers on it, and I'm still trying to figure out how the Bills didn't get a sack last week. We talked so much about the new right tackle, Austin Howard, but again, they did not give up a sack. I think they need to stick with what they're doing. Defensively, I thought the Jets were very impressive last week. If the Steelers don't run, and I think it's a possibility we could see, I believe Rashard Mendenhall practiced this week, or is practicing this week. Is it possible they see him, depending on their running back by committee situation? But Ryan Clark comes back this week. We don't know if James Harrison's coming back this week. The impact that those two guys have, both as players and both as just sheer intensity, could make a difference in this game. I think the Harrison thing is definitely worth watching. I mean, you would think that the Steelers rebound here, but I wouldn't be stunned in a place, by the way, the Jets have only ever won once, meaning Pittsburgh, not Heinz Field, just Pittsburgh.
Wow.
I wouldn't be stunned if the Jets did pull this off because I think on the offensive line they have an advantage. And Pittsburgh's offensive line, the two guys on the right side wound up getting banged up last week. So we'll see. And, of course, Rex Ryan knows the Steelers pretty well. So this is not, you know, remember, 2 years ago, these teams played in the AFC title game.
Right. They did. They absolutely did. Then the one game I think that certainly a lot of people will be watching and will have great bearing on the Patriots, not only this week, but the next week as well, is next week's opponent. The Ravens go on the road, and they will play the Philadelphia Eagles. And so you have an AFC preseason favorite and an NFC preseason favorite going in week two. Nice matchup. Good job by the league in scheduling this one early. This one has an early season playoff type feel to it.
Yeah, and we're gonna have our share, I think, of those this year, because you know the NFC East, which you know obviously looks like it's very balanced, it happens to play the AFC North this year, where you had three teams who went to the playoffs last year: Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. So we're gonna see our share of those in terms of those two divisions in terms of interconference. But here's the question: listen, as good as Baltimore looked last week, and they look pretty darn good. We saw them look pretty darn good last year in the opener against Pittsburgh, and then they went on the road to Tennessee and lost.
Mm-hmm.
And last year they went to Jacksonville and lost, and they went to Seattle and lost. And eventually San Diego, and that, for as good as they were, if you include the AFC title game last year, the Ravens were a 4-5 team on the road. I can't explain that. It seems like they played a different style of football. Could they go to Philadelphia and lose and people say same old Ravens? I think they'd be losing probably to a pretty good team. But I know this. Ed Reed got his 58th interception last week, which now ties him 10th all-time in NFL history. The NFL record is 81, by the way, as we know, Hall of Famer Paul Kraus. If Michael Vick throws the ball 56 times again, Ed Reed might get 23 picks and tie Paul Kraus's record. And remember,
that many,
Ed,
huh?
Reed, Ed Reed likes playing the Eagles,
yep.
The longest interception return in the history of the NFL. Andy Reid benched Donovan McNabb in 2008, and
mm-hmm.
came Kevin Cobb, and Ed Reed, 107 yards down the sideline.
Right.
For the longest. And by the way, Ed Reed off his interception last week, 34 yards on the return. Now no player in NFL history has returned interceptions for more yards than Ed Reed.
Wow. You know, Michael Vick had the NFC's, I think, lowest passer rating last week. And Joe Flacco on the other side was the offensive player of the week in the AFC for their win over Cincinnati. What do we make out of that? And does it mean anything? Does it have bearing on this week?
Well, I mean, you saw a couple of those picks from Michael Vick go off people's hands. But, you know, the other thing they lost, even though Michael Vick also fumbled twice last week, too. He didn't lose the fumbles, but he fumbled. So just count the picks and the fumbles. That's six negative plays. Right off the bat, a couple sacks. That's eight negative plays. Okay, so, you know, do you want 1/7 or 1/8 of your plays in the game to be going backwards? Of course not. And remember the Eagles last year, 38 turnovers, second most to the Buccaneers. They had 5 turnovers against the Browns. Remember LeSean McCoy, even though he had a good day yardage-wise, he fumbled and lost a fumble. So, you know, it's almost like very Keystone Kopp-ish for a team that's very, very talented. But I'm going to be very, very interested in seeing that Baltimore offensive line block that Eagle defensive line. And we saw it again last week, 2 more sacks by the Eagles, 2 more sacks by their defensive linemen, John, which means going back to the start of last year, they have 52 sacks, and 48 of the 52 have come from the defensive line.
Wow. Wow.
Not a blitzing team. And because you know why? They don't have to.
Here's a number that I like. I know that you'll probably also appreciate. I think the Eagles are 9-1 when LeSean McCoy goes for 100.
Yeah, well, listen. The guy let's put it this way. Michael Vick throws 56 times last week, which I still think was a little perplexing. The guy in the backfield with him scored the most touchdowns in the entire NFL last year. Okay? So did they stop giving the ball because he fumbled? Or did they just feel like they could keep on doing that to the Browns? Now, as much as bad as Michael Vick played, it wasn't like the whole rest of the team played horribly. They did keep the Browns out of the end zone, except for an interception return. So the Browns offense, and listen, the Browns offense leaves a lot to be desired, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Browns offense, since the beginning of last year, has actually scored as many touchdowns as LeSean McCoy, 20. So I understand that. They did pick off Brandon Weeden time down. He had a little deer in the headlights thing going last week. So I don't want to say that the whole team, the Eagles team, played horrible last week, but you're just not going to get away with this turnover thing. And if it was a problem last year, and listen, Baltimore can turn you over real quick. real, real quick. So I need, I think for me more than anything else, this is less about Philadelphia, hard to believe, but it's more about Baltimore. Are they going to beat a team by 31 points and then go on the road and lose? That's what I'm curious to say.
There are two other games, Russell, that before we get to the Patriots, that I think certainly bring a certain amount of intrigue, not only because each team of the four won last week, but these teams are also thought to be contenders. In the NFC, Lions are playing at the 49ers, and you know, the Patriots will see the 49ers certainly later this year. They looked great in week one. To me, they looked like the best team in the NFL, and that's with all due respect to Baltimore, who might be the best team in the NFL after 1 week, if we can even rank them that way. And then the other game is Broncos at the Falcons. Both won, and certainly from the Peyton Manning factor, he didn't look a heck of a lot worse for the wear, although you can tell his arm strength isn't quite what it used to be.
That's true. Well, Detroit and San Francisco is very, very intriguing because I think there are more people interested in the beginning of the game and certainly at the end of the game than they are the middle of the game. And that's because of what happened last year up in Detroit. The quote-unquote handshake between Jim Harbaugh and Jim Schwartz.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, legendary. I'll give you something else. John, by any chance, do you know who won the Super Bowl during the 1975 season?
1975. Okay. I'd have to sit here and think about it a little bit, but I know you have the answer right at the tip of your...
Well, it was the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pittsburgh, okay.
Right.
I knew it had to be...
Remember,
yeah.
In 1975, we were still playing 14 games. We weren't playing 16 games.
Correct.
And we were a year away from Tampa Bay and Seattle.
Right.
Joining the league, so we had 26 teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why on earth am I bringing up 1975?
Well, you'll tell me.
Because that's the last time the Detroit Lions won at San Francisco.
Wow. Nicely done.
Oh.
Nicely done.
And it's not like they play there every year, but that's the last time. I think they, I want to say they've lost, I mean, they haven't beaten the 49ers. In fact, the last time they beat the 49ers, period, was actually on a Monday night, I think, in 1995, when Scott Mitchell dueled Steve Young.
Wow.
I'm sure. In San Francisco, it's been a whole different story. And I want to tell you something. The Niners couldn't have looked to me any better than they did last week for them to do. And we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
They won at Detroit last year. They won at Philadelphia, down 20, by the way, at Cincinnati. You know, the Lions and Bengals were in the playoffs last year. So going to Lambeau Field, that game plan that they have, running the ball and beating the other team up, pretty portable.
Mm-hmm.
And even more portable at home. And, you know, to me, you know, the Detroit Lions, who struggled with the Rams. Matthew Stafford, for all the yards he threw last week, and we killed Michael Vick, obviously, for his four picks. Matthew Stafford threw three picks last week. You didn't hear a lot about that necessarily. Bottom line was both those teams wound up winning the games. But Matthew Stafford had, you know, he had an interception return for a touchdown last week, Cortland Finnegan,
right,
who ran one back. So, you know, Michael Vick was not the only veteran quarterback or highly regarded quarterback to have a bad game last week. So we shall see. To me, the Niners, they play with a lot of confidence. They play with a lot of attitude. They play with a different mindset in some regards. And I think it's going to be a tall order for the Lions to go in there and win.
And then the Broncos at the Falcons. Great start by Matt Ryan for the Falcons when they got off on a 1-0 start on the road. Broncos you know what? They put up points. I thought Peyton Manning played very well within himself. I think there was a certain charge and a certain energy in the field in Denver. Question is, can he take that on the road and do it again?
Well, Peyton Manning in his day with the Colts usually fared very, very well on Monday night. But Matt Ryan, I'm going to go back to the Matt Ryan Julio Jones thing, because if you go back at the end of last season, in the last five regular season games, Matt Ryan has thrown 13 touchdown passes and no interceptions.
Wait a second. That's last five regular season games?
Yes, last week and the last four of last season.
Okay.
13-0. And 8 of the 13 have gone to Julio Jones down by the schoolyard.
Wow. Okay. Pretty good.
Yeah, and listen.
He likes Jones.
Tracy Porter, he knows that building pretty well from his days with the Saints, and
sure,
he had a terrific game against the Steelers on Sunday. I you know, I'm not going to be shocked. To me, that's almost a pick 'em game. You know, I think Atlanta, which you know, the work that Matt Ryan and Mike Smith and Thomas Dimitroff have done on for that franchise. I mean, since the four of them got there, they haven't had a losing season. But of course, everybody focuses on the playoff failures rather than the fact that they keep on having winning seasons and actually get to the playoffs.
Sure.
But I mean, there's, you know, it's to me, it's very interesting what the league did here. Is we had primetime Peyton on Sunday, now we get primetime Peyton on Monday. Mm-hmm. And who knows, maybe we'll just have Peyton play every day of the week for the next 5 weeks. We'll throw him on a Friday. Even if the game's not scheduled, we'll just put him on.
I think he's still going to be popular for the TV networks.
Well, the league as great as the year is and the greatest the season was last year, not having Peyton Manning around, you know, for all the unfortunate reasons.
It wasn't the same.
It wasn't the same. Because, you know, who doesn't want a guy who loves football playing football? And that's what Peyton Manning is. He loves football. He's a student of the game, and he's great for the game. And this is going to be a really interesting – this is a really interesting call. But I will say this. If Denver plays with the balance that they did last week, which I think people may have been a little surprised. They didn't get a ton of rushing yards against the Steelers, but they got their share of attempts. I mean, Denver, I think, can go in here and win this game.
And then that brings us full circle to the Pats and the Cardinals. 1 o'clock Eastern time kickoff here at Gillette. And Patriots fans certainly know that New England got to the Super Bowl last year, even though the defense was somewhat suspect defensively, you know, statistically, I mean, next to last in the league or last in a lot of categories. And the defense looked like it took a nice step forward last week at Tennessee. The offense appears to be in good shape, although, you know, you listen to, you know, some naysayers around these parts, Russell. You know, Wes Welker only catching 3 balls last week is a sign of major problems in the works. I don't think that's the case at all. Arizona going to have a switch at quarterback. It looks like Kevin Cobb is going to get the go for John Skelton with the ankle injury out. If indeed that is the case, does that give the Patriots even more of an advantage?
Well, Kevin, listen, for a guy who is beat up physically and mentally as much as Kevin Cobb was during the preseason, for him to come in last week and do what he did and salvage the game, pretty impressive on his part. I got to be honest with you.
He was good.
Was
good.
I mean, yeah, listen, he's you know, obviously in some ways been a disappointment in Arizona. I also think a lot part of that is the offensive line, which has really, really struggled. If you watch the summer, I happened to be in Canton for that game, and the difference between him and John Skelton was, you know, Kevin Cobb has a tendency to break the pocket a little faster than Skelton. Skelton will hang in the pocket even though he's got people in his face and try and make a play that way rather than Cobb tries to get outside. But I kind of go back, and I know you'll remember the game well, and what one has to do with the other, who knows. But I remember the last time the Cardinals were up in Foxborough 4 years ago in a snowstorm and only lost by 40. But as it turns out,
that's the game that everybody remembers.
And that's the game everybody remembers.
And that's why nobody
remember about that a month later.
And this is why nobody's taking Arizona seriously here.
Right.
Nobody.
Well, one thing about the Cardinals, they play pretty good defense. That's what I will say. The problem they run into sometimes is they just don't generate enough points. Now, when you're playing New England, you've got to generate points. But the one thing that impressed me more than anything about New England last week was watching them being physical again. They were a hitting football team last week. And I thought there was a sense of poetic justice that the two first-round picks both had 5 tackles last week in Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower, and they teamed up on that touchdown.
Yeah, they did.
You know, the sack by Jones and the scoop by Hightower.
Right, right.
But they both were very, very productive last week. But there was a physical nature to the Patriots last week. That I, you know, Jake Locker got bounced around pretty good, even though he wound up getting hurt, I think, from one of his own linemen on his shoulders, if I remember right. But that was almost like a swarming New England defense. I mean, Tennessee had its moments early in the game where they drove down the field and got the field goal, but I thought not enough credit goes to that New England defense last week. And also the nature of the running game last week. Stephen Ridley had a solid game, and that was a much more balanced New England team that we have seen. That was probably as balanced as I've seen them when they played the Raiders out in Oakland last year. I know you'll remember that game. And I was just impressed with the style of football that New England played last week, and sure enough, Brady still gets his touchdown passes to the tight ends. But it was a different kind of New England team that we saw last week. And, again, people forget that Arizona's won 8 of its last 10 games, going back to last year. But they just don't put enough points on the board. You know, I remember when they played at Baltimore last year, Arizona almost upset Baltimore in Baltimore. But they did a lot of it with special teams and turnovers and so on. And the Patriots rarely go on these turnover sprees where they turn over the ball 3 or 4 times. I think that's what they would have to do to lose.
Yeah, I think that's kind of our thought process here as well, that if the Patriots were able to, if they put the ball on the ground or threw it away, then Arizona would have a chance to stick around. But short of that, Patriots should be able to take care of business at home on Sunday.
And let me throw out one other stat, which I love to do. They're playing an NFC team.
Correct.
And fortunately, it's an NFC team that's not the Giants.
Right.
But if you go back to 2001 and you include the 5 Super Bowls, New England is 41-8 versus the NFC.
Good number.
Yes.
Back to
now, 3 of those 8 losses are actually to the Giants.
Wow.
But 41-8 versus NFC teams going back a decade or so.
That's pretty strong against the other conference, especially this year in a conference that's maybe top to bottom a little stronger than the one they're in.
Well, it's a handy number to have when you keep on getting the Super Bowls.
We like that. That a lot. It's always so much fun to talk football with you, but I'm so glad the season has started and we get to do this and chat like this at least once a week, my friend. So thank you for spending time with us again today, as always.
Oh, you got it, and I look forward to next week co-hosting NFL pregame with you on Thursday.
Yes.
And doing Patriots. I'm just going to rename the show on the fly here.
Of course,
I'll understand if Kevin doesn't call last week because I got in trouble.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's all good. Thanks, Russell.
All right. You got it, John.
Talk to you soon. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, Bleacher Report, Cold Hard Football Facts. Get him while you can. All right, you want to take a quick break? We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back, get some emails in, score predictions. Got a couple of minutes left in the program. You got your thoughts how the Patriots or even the Cardinals are going to win this game here on Sunday. Web radio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. John.Rook, Facebook, Twitter at JRook0722. Go.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
All right, for the final 10 minutes of the program here, before we get off to our fantasy football program, coming up at the top of the hour, Football Nation. Is that what we call it? Yeah, Football Nation. Right, I'm sorry. My bad. Got to get used to the new program schedule, right? Football Nation coming up 4 o'clock Eastern time. Your emails, webradio@patriots.com, Facebook, Twitter as well, on the prediction for the game here on Sunday. Joe in Michigan says, here's a hypothetical, one you might consider each week with the opposition. With all things being how they are now, but switching Brady and Cobb so that Brady leads the Cardinals and Cobb leads the Patriots, how would these two teams look? Interesting. I feel much better about the Cardinals' chances, I think, if Brady was leading them. Obviously less so about the Patriots, but I think the Patriots are probably built up enough around Tom Brady now where if Kevin Cobb were to come in and lead them, I think the Patriots probably still win the game. Although I really would like to see Tom Brady throw to Larry Fitzgerald. Who wouldn't? If you're a Patriots fan, you kind of slobber on that one, don't you? That'd be interesting. I'd love to see it. I'm glad we don't have to. Gustavo says now he's in Irvine, California. Yes, the same guy from Brazil. Thank you, Gustavo. Good to hear from you. Says he's spending a year here in California at UCal Irvine as part of an exchange program in my university. Congratulations on that. He says, John, I think you guys are being too pessimistic about this game. What kind of weapons do you think the Cardinals have? They have Fitzgerald, not a very good quarterback to throw to him, either Skelton or Cobb. Plus, it's just one man down the field. And as much as I am still not too sold on our secondary, I think they can handle one man. And my prediction is Pats 38-7. Whew. I think Gustavo's remembering that game here 3 years ago in the snow where the Cardinals just basically gave up in a 45-7 loss. And then, as Eric Scalavino pointed out very well thereafter, the Cardinals were in the Super Bowl. The Patriots were not. That's all I'm saying. Dave sends this. I'm glad BB is building up the Cardinals to his players, not letting them get too high about a nice win in week one. But let's face it, Kevin Cobb versus Tom Brady. You do the math. He says, Pat's 31, Card 17. One question about Branch, is his locker and nameplate still up? And what are the chances he'll return? Any inside info? It's a legitimate question, Dave. Yes, his locker, his nameplate are still up in the locker room down the hallway. The chair is kind of, or was at least earlier when I saw it, still propped up against the locker, which generally indicates he's not around anywhere. What are the chances he'll return? I think the general thought process is that at some point in time, it may be sooner rather than later, but nobody, there's just not a timetable built here. A lot of it will depend on, you know, an injury situation or what have you. But I think because he hasn't re-signed with somebody, and we probably won't see that typically until we get into the meat of the season a little when injuries start to become a factor. But because of the fact that he's still available tells me that he'll probably be back at some point. At some point, there's a good chance. Now, someone else makes him an offer that he can't say no to, well, then I think you'll see him go that route. But barring that, I think the Patriots will figure out a way to bring him back. I'm actually mildly surprised it wasn't this week. I thought that it may come after week one. Apparently, that's still a little bit early in the game plan. So to answer your question, I think his chances are still good that he will at some point. And that's, we'll just have to kind of wait it out and see. Tony says, Major Tony, I approach this game with a certain sense of foreboding. No one is as good as they seem, nor as bad. If you put the Pats in the not as good as they seem and the Cards in the not as bad, I believe you find reality. Okay. I still think we find a way to win, but not the blowout or the ho-hum game everyone seems to be predicting. I hope I'm wrong and we roll, but I'm thinking Pats 28, Cards 21. You know what, Major Tony? I actually like your. I think you have good sound theology here. You're kind of taking after my boy PFW Eric over here, because he tends to be on the short side of optimistic. I don't want to say he's a negative Nancy like I called him earlier, but nevertheless, he always errs on the side of caution. And I really believe in all instances, especially in the NFL, when everything is so even, and it really is literally a turnover or a bobble or a kickoff or, you know, a field goal, one small play in a 60-minute game that can turn the game around in your favor and cause you to win or lose. And we've seen that happen time and time again in the NFL because of the overall parity in the league. And that's P-A-R-I-T-Y, not P-A-R-O-D-Y. There are a lot of good players, a lot of good coaches. These coaches and players do a lot of studying of each other. Very few secrets. You might be able to sneak one or two through on any given week. You might. You might. But these teams study each other thoroughly. They know with reasonable certainty what's coming and what they're going to do and what the other guy's going to do. So it all comes down to the athletes you have and which everybody's got them. But the execution by those athletes, and this is where the coaching and the game planning comes into place and whether or not you've got a team that's on the cutting edge and staying a half a step ahead of the other guy as opposed to a guy who seems to do a good job, but he's always catching up. That's why you always want to be innovative and you always want to set the trend. And this is why the Patriots, I feel like they kind of set themselves apart. They've been out there in front of people for so long now, really for the last 12 years, simply because they've been cutting edge and they've been a half a step ahead of the opposition. They pushed the envelope. I think we all know that in more ways than one. So I think it's proper to err on the side of caution when it comes to predicting games, because in the NFL, the saying goes, on any given Sunday. And it's so true. Now, would I be surprised if the Cardinals won the game here Sunday? Yes, I'd be surprised. Am I giving them a puncher's chance? Yes, I'm giving them a puncher's chance. I said earlier 31-20. Stole my boy Tim in British Columbia. I stole his score. But I liked it. It fit. It's about the right amount, although it also wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots held the Cardinals to less than that. Cardinals scored 20 against Seattle. I don't know that they scored 20 against the Patriots, especially on the road. And I think the Patriots are certainly capable of scoring more than 31. So it could be 38 to 13. Somewhere in that vicinity. It could be. I doubt it, but it could be. But I like the 28-21, and I like the sound reasoning behind it, to be honest with you, Tony. Thank you for the email. It's good stuff. Here is Dale from Bedford, who says, John, I'm an ex-Cardinal fan displaced from Missouri via Wisconsin to the Boston area. I would tune in the radio in Madison to barely hear the Cardinal broadcast to avoid having to watch the awful Packers, he says, during the 80s. When I got here, the Pats were worse than the Cardinals in 79. Or at least in my opinion. And evidently the record showed it, as the cardiac cards were 4-1 against the Pats then all time. But the cards were also in St. Louis then, which is why I was a fan. I do remember a game long ago at Busch Stadium in 1975 where Steve Grogan heroically led the Patriots for what amounted to being a really good game, in which I was rooting for Jim Hart and Mel Gray and Conrad Dober and Dan Dierdorf and Terry Metcalf. Cards won it 24-17. God, you really have gone back on that one, Dale. That's an awesome, awesome recollection. And I really hated those St. Louis teams because they used to give the Cowboys fits. And as many of you know, I grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan, having grown up in Fort Worth, Texas. And I playing the St. Louis Cardinals, to me, was right there with playing the Washington Redskins. Hated it. Hated it. Anyway, Dale says, little did I know how things would change going forward. The Cards moved to Phoenix and have even been in a Super Bowl, and the Patriots have been in six of them. Meanwhile, I gave up on the Cards when they became entrenched in Arizona, converted to patriotism during the 1996 season. All right, so that's how Dale has seen the light and come to the other side. And he says, so on this coming Sunday, he says, Patriots 31, Cardinals 7. Pats come out excited, score early and often. Brandon Lloyd gets a TD catch, including a bunch of yak yards after the catch. Pats will force a special teams fumble, and it's the Cardinals. Lloyd is right. You found it. Good. It's the Cardinals, for crying out loud. I know them from way back. Larry Fitzgerald will get into the end zone in the fourth quarter after the game is already decided. People will rave about the Pats defense prematurely. It'll take another week or two for them to come down to earth, probably against the stinking Jets. Okay. Good stuff, Dale. An excellent, excellent email overall. John in Alaska. I saw solid tackling in the last game, something that was not consistent from the defense last year. It made a huge difference, and to me it was very obvious. If they can play like that for the entire season, I can see them being dominant, going all the way. From John in Alaska. Good stuff. All right. Roughly 31-20. Roughly. Give or take a point either way. But it certainly looks as if the Patriots they have the opportunity to get off on the right foot at home, see if they can move to 2-0, because, you know, next week we talk about the first big, real, honest-to-goodness, gut-wrenching, on-the-edge-of-your-seat, fingernail-biting match of the year with the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, and rightfully so, an AFC contender with the Patriots, I think. So, and the Patriots have to go on the road. So without looking too far ahead, we can do that. The guys down the hallway can't. It stacks up to be a good week of conversation, and we'll have it all for you right here on Patriots.com radio. Patriots Monday, recapping, of course, the Arizona game, and then back here with PFW in Progress and yours truly in the playbook on Tuesday. Same Pats time, same Pats channel. Okay, Kevin, thank you. Thanks to Russell. Thanks to Big E. Pats, Cardinals, Sunday here in Gillette.
Through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.